The scripture reading this morning comes from James chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. That's James chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. And I am reading from the New American Standard Version. And it reads, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. The wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic."
Certainly is good to see everyone here this first Sunday of the new year. And hopefully it will be a tremendous and great new year with blessings abundant on each and every one of us. Think back, some of us a lot further back than others. The time when you were a sophomore in school, what did you feel like that very first day of school? I realized that I only had two other groups of people that could pick on me instead of three, because I was no longer a freshman. We hold that term a bit because we think of the prestige, that we are no longer considered freshmen. But what does sophomore mean? It actually is a combination of two Greek words, sophos, which means wise, and moros, which means full or dull. So sophomore, the second year person, means the fool who thinks he's wise. Sadly, there are some who have never left this state. To repeat James 3 and verse 13, James said, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." You know, you look at the teachings of James and you find a lot of great things. It's a tremendous book. James has been teaching about faith and works. He also teaches about the tongue and the tongue's power. And now he is saying that just as faith without works is dead, so is wisdom without good character and deeds. The problem that we have, though, are there are Christians who claim to have great spiritual wisdom, but their lives show only the opposite. James tells us that there are two types of wisdom, but only one type that really counts. False wisdom does not come from above, and it can be seen as earthly by the outcome of that wisdom. True wisdom that comes from above can also be seen by its outcome. And so it begs the question, how wise are you? Now, we want to be wise as children of God, but we want to make sure that our wisdom is blinded by heavenly wisdom. More often than not, what we think is wisdom is really a self-centered means of climbing the ladder to success. We can do some checking on wisdom to see what kind of wisdom we possess. First, let's start with the motive check. Ask ourselves the question, what is our motive for this action or thought? If the reason we desire to act in a particular manner is because of a wrong motive, then it is the wrong decision. looking in verses 14 through 16 in James chapter 3. James says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast or be false and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. James talks about this false wisdom as earthly and unspiritual and demonic. And that kind of is some harsh language. But the idea of the unearthly or earthly and unspiritual is talking about a person who does not think about their actions, but simply reacts. I guess you could say it's almost animalistic in nature. You see, animals don't typically think before they act. God has ingrained in them a sense that they react without thinking. It's what keeps them alive. But oftentimes in human nature, we don't think, but we react. That makes our wisdom focus inwardly. And James calls it demon-like. The outcome of earthly and unspiritual wisdom is disorder and evil practices. But before we simply dismiss this as thinking that none of us ever deal with this type of wisdom, I'd like to go back into the Bible and look at a couple of things that appear to be wise on the surface, but the motive and the outcome showed that it was really earthy and unspiritual. Well, let's go back about 4,000 years. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 16. And we have the account here of Hagar and Abraham. And we all are very familiar with the account of Abraham, how God had promised Abraham a son, a child. But what we see is that over time, nothing is happening. Abraham and Sarah are getting older and older, and nothing is happening. And so it seemed wise at the time for both Sarah and Abraham for Abraham to take Hagar as a wife also and to have a child through her. But what was the outcome? We have the birth of Ishmael. Ishmael brought disorder and evil into the lives of Abraham and Sarah. Consider 3,000 years after that. The disciples, they're with Christ. 5,000 men, not including women and children, were gathered around, and the disciples thought it wise to send them away so that they could find food as it was getting late in the day, Matthew 14 and verse 15. And we look at how Jesus confounded their wisdom by feeding every single one there with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Was the wisdom of the disciples from above, or was it human wisdom? My point is that these people thought that what they were doing was wise. But we are fortunate because we get to see the end result, not them. That we need to be very careful about what we think is wisdom from above. Heavenly wisdom points us in a direction that may not be what we desire. And like Abraham, and like the disciples, we will not have the ability to see what that wisdom will bring. So we need to be very careful and very prayerful in the decisions that we make. There is a story of a man from Boston who was entertaining a Chinese scholar. And it was a friend of his, and he met his friend at the train station. And he grabbed his friend and he started running towards the subway station. And as they were running through the subway station, the man said to his Oriental friend, he says, "If we hurry, we can save 3 minutes if we catch the subway." And his Oriental friend said to him, "And what significant thing shall we do with the 3 minutes that we save?" The wisdom of this world is far more interested in saving 3 minutes than knowing what to do with the 3 minutes that we save. Let that sink in. So what is this wisdom that we as Christians should possess? James helps us to define it in verse 17 of James chapter 3. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, and sincere. Well, that almost starts to sound like the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? That we read of in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and verses 22 and 23. True wisdom is characterized by being morally pure, peace-loving, considerate, gentle, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. But go outside this four walls right here. Go out into the community today. Go down Main Street in the Magic Kingdom and all those people. And all of these words here, if you exhibit those, they will tell you that you are naive. That's not how the world works. You see, wisdom from God looks different more often than not than what we are used to. But there's one word in this list that caught my attention. And that was the word that the NIV translates submissive. The King James translates easy to be entreated. And the English Standard Version uses open to reason. But what it conveys is that of compliance. It is a willingness to yield to persuasion when the truth is presented. It's not telling us to believe every single thing. It is telling us to believe that which is proven to be truthful. Now, sometimes I even have to admit that even my best thinking has gotten me into trouble. And maybe if I'd have taken the time to listen to people who were more spiritual and more experienced, or maybe possess more of this wisdom from above, I wouldn't have gotten myself into so much trouble. Maybe I could learn from that similar type of wisdom. True wisdom has feet and hands and is seen as well as heard. True wisdom is not having our heads in the clouds. being down in the valley with our hands in the muck of life, trying to lift other people up the mountain, get them up to where they can see. What I see in these passages is community and relationships. So we ask ourselves, how wise am I? Friends, brethren, these are the attributes that help us to see wisdom from above versus the wisdom from this world. James concluded with these words in verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. This is the effect that wisdom from above brings. The harvest of righteousness. And doesn't that sound like what you want your life to be? And what you want your life to bring? Peace is what brings the harvest of righteousness. Peace starts with wisdom. And the best peace that we can have is the peace with God. That peace that comes when in our union through Christ, we live in the grace of God. Can you imagine a world that is run and operated by godly wisdom? That the pews in every church will be filled. That every church building, the words that come out of the mouth of the congregation and the minister were the exact same thing the world over. We would be talking and preaching of the one faith, the one baptism, the one Spirit, the one God. We wouldn't be different at all. And we would go about our business tomorrow morning. With high hopes and good days, because we all have that wisdom that is from above. Wisdom in knowing the truth. The wisdom from above is listening to the truth. The Bible is the truth. Salvation comes only by one route. There is only one way, only one gospel, only one way to salvation, through repentance and confession, and through baptism, and having your sins washed away. By listening to those words of wisdom that come from the Scriptures. Not from me, not from anyone else, but from God Himself. You will have that hope of eternal life. And maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you haven't been living the way you should be living. Maybe you haven't been using the wisdom of God, but using your own wisdom to get by in life. It may get you to tomorrow and through tomorrow, but it will not get you into the next life. If there is a need in your life to repent, we pray that you will come. If anyone has a need, come as together we stand and we sing.